In the almost 50 years that I've been a priest and a bishop, you encounter many things, and one thing I've learned is that God continuously is teaching us. Just when we think we have a handle on something, when we've got the insight, God opens us up. I happen to have been a military chaplain for 23 years, Army. And while that period of time, you're assigned to various and different units. And one unit I was assigned to in particular had an individual there, John was his name, who during the Vietnam War had what they used to refer to as shell shock. It caused his nerves to kind of be on edge. He talked a little louder than everybody else. But he was really a tremendously devoted Catholic. We were sent up to Fort McCoy to do annual training, and while up there, a Catholic chaplain is a real commodity. So he's grabbed a hold of and he's kind of carted all the way around to different places, and we got notified that the post chapel needed a mass. And that was for a lot of the lay people who were not associated with units. It wasn't very many, it was maybe 30, 35 people that would attend basically the mass. So they got a hold of myself at my unit and asked if I could come in. The unit commander said, sure, chaplain, please, you'd help us out, and why don't you take John with you? And of course, John, one of the things John loved to do was serve. He loved to serve. So we got to the chapel, disembarked, got out of our Jeep, came in, I vested, went in to celebrate the mass. John was right at my side, answering all of the responses proudly, doing all the things that the server would do proudly. And then at the end, we finished, about 30 to 35 people in, and we went in and I was divesting. The secretary came running in. She said, chaplain. She said, I got to tell you something. I said, what's wrong? It's the collection. I said, what, did someone steal it? And she said, no. The collection was $560 for 30 people there. I looked at her and said, was I preaching? You're surprised, you know? So she said, no, she said, and there was about $450 rolled up in cash with a rubber band around. And I said to her, I said, put it in the safe on the side because I think I know who donated the money. So I wanted to approach it very gingerly. And so I was walking, we were walking back to the Jeep, and I said, now, John, did you donate a large sum of money to the collection? Now, John would not lie to save his soul. He wouldn't lie at all. And he looked at me and said, yes, I did. And now, here I am saying, John, and I know he was supporting an aged mom. John, you know, God expects some things from us, but doesn't expect us to go beyond those things that cause us to hurt. So, John, he stopped me, he said, chaplain, do you read sacred scripture? I said, well, I've had a mind a little bit. I sometimes occasionally open up the book. Yeah, I do. I sometimes do that. And I said, yes, John. And then he said, have you ever read the widow's mite? Today's gospel. I said, yes, John. He said, chaplain, I tithe. I give 10% of whatever I earn back to God and the church. He said, chaplain, I have never, ever given from my want, only from my surplus. Well, there are two Christians outside that Jeep. I wasn't the one. John certainly was. I bring that up because what opens up to us is things we think are adequate, but then remarkably, those things that go beyond our imagining to demonstrate God's singular power and grace that moves us. You might wonder what that has to do with today. I'm going to tell you that there was God's singular grace and movement in this community 175 years ago. There will be those that we will never know that were giving literally from their want in order to help build this community. But like the widow from Sarephath, in the first reading today from Elijah, she gave of literally what little she had to survive on. She gave so that that almost stranger, the prophet Elijah, almost a stranger, could survive and live and do what God wanted to do. She was doing and sacrificing her own life and that of her child to help fulfill God's plan. You know what? God will never be outdone in his generosity. And so she found out that in freely giving, not knowing what would happen, that God would step in and take care of her and make sure that she was given a prophet's reward for what she did. I say that because we take a look at 175 years ago, there were individuals who knew one thing. They needed to bring together to establish themselves in terms of their relationship with God, to be a witness to his presence in this community, and to do so with an open and generous heart, not knowing how and the way God would lead this community. And if we take a look and look in the rearview mirror at 175 years ago, we can see how God was with this community through some of the most difficult times in our society. I mean, certainly you go back all the way to the Civil War, which they would have known about. You take a look immediately at World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, all affecting this community, its members and its children, and calling upon God for his presence among them. What's always remarkable to me is the First Circuit writers that came here literally was my very first predecessor, Archbishop Penny. And he was accompanied by Bishop Heiss, who later went to form and fashion the La Crosse community, and then came back here as the second archbishop. It's remarkable again to me that every one of my predecessors would have known this community, and they would have been welcomed. Why? Because of that person of Christ that was calling them together, calling them to rely upon Christ, to trust in him, to place confidence in him, no matter what they were facing. And I use those aspects of war because they seem to bring the entire nation together, but there were other things that brought the entire nation together. They had to go through depression and had to place their trust basically in God. And we went through other times of turmoil economically. But there was always here that you could come to for consolation, for strength, to rely upon other brothers and sisters, to pray before God. And what was established here? It was church. That which Christ built and called us together so that we might look forward to what our ultimate destiny was. It kept on reminding us that it's not found in this world, but found in the world yet to come. And so individuals came over the 175 years bringing their children in to be baptized. as they are still doing today, being members, basically, of the church. They came in here seeking out reconciliation, confession, to unburden themselves sometimes from those things that grabbed a hold of them, captured them. Sometimes sin in its most direct and strongest form. And to be here, those words that they were forgiven. Forgiven. And of course, the central aspect of it is right here. The food that we receive for the journey. The real presence of Christ. And I mean with all my heart, the real presence of Christ. Christ comes among us to be with us, but not to hold us here, but to send us out to be witnesses of his presence. Young people came in to be confirmed in their faith all throughout the years, to be confirmed and to profess that which they knew at baptism. And there were those who basically came here and stood before each other and ministered the sacrament of marriage. The two shall be as one in a covenantal relationship with God, and to go forth and to do those things that are necessary. There are those that were called to basically religious life, priesthood. Those in the past who then went on to serve the church, a causal connection to basically the faith they understood and witnessed here. And then, of course, there's that wonderful aspect of the anointing, the last rites, where people gathered and called upon the priest or gathered here together to receive an anointing, a healing, if it be in God's will, or the preparation to receive God into our ultimate destiny, which is heaven. That important sacrament becomes more and more an aspect for me in this life, because I look to see that I want this church, I want my parish to be able to pray with me as I embrace that which is to come. My father was in the hospital at St. Luke's in Chicago for a number of years. I was ordained with a class of 38 in Chicago, well, 38 priests. And this was the days before HIPAA. My dad was dying of colon cancer and was in the hospital. And what priests would do is when they were making their rounds, they would come in and they would check basically the list. And if they recognized somebody, as I said, it was before HIPAA, they would recognize somebody as being a Catholic or recognize somebody that they knew, and they would go up and visit them. I came in to see my dad, and I looked at my father. He said, Jerome. And I said, yeah, Pop. And he said, you know, I've always been proud of you being my son and a priest. He said, so I've always been proud of that. But Jerome, I got to tell you, he said, almost every one of your classmates have come in to visit me, and they've all anointed me. If St. Peter denies me entrance into heaven, I'll be able to slip through the pearly gates without any problem. This was a man like most of us, not looking forward to oblivion or demise, but looking forward because of our faith, going forward together. So what a blessing we have today, 175 years of gathering together and giving thanks to God, whose presence was involved in this community, whose presence was witnessing to others about our faith and the strength of our faith. And I tell you without a doubt, that presence is needed more so today than maybe any time in our recent past. We need to be witnesses to Christ. We need to be intentional Catholics. We need to use our prayer to strengthen not only our parish, not only our church, but literally the world. And you can do it. Your predecessors have. You will. And you'll call upon others to keep this faith here at St. Joe's under the patronage of the universal patron of the church, St. Joseph, to keep this strong and to be able to fulfill what God wants us to do, using us as his instrument for his love. Thank you for your gift, like the widow's mite, and especially for those things that you've done which will never be known to us, but to God alone. And realize, he will not be outdone in his generosity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.